Well, good morning, everybody. Bonjour. Bonjour. I don't know what kind of French you're used to. Whatever it is, it's always bonjour. I do have to admit that the Quebecois people have a very particular accent. So sometimes, you know, you can be speaking French, but you go to Quebec and you're like, what language is this? I'm joking, no offense to Quebecois. I myself have grown up in Quebec. I was born in Montreal, raised by two Pakistani parents who immigrated from Pakistan. So I studied my whole life in French. So I do have a bit of a Quebecois accent myself, and I do like to make fun of it sometimes. This morning, as Howard mentioned, I'm here with Emma, who co-leads the campus ministry with me. She's working full-time, she's working part-time for the church, and I'm working full-time. I got hired full-time as a campus minister back in July, so it's been a couple of months that I've been working as a full-time minister. It's not been a year, as I was saying to Madeline's dad a couple of minutes ago. Sometimes I do make mistakes. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. But people come up to me and say, hey, Dennis, I think you shouldn't have said that, or I think you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't know. I'm just learning my job. You got to be patient with me. It's not been a whole lot of time that I've been a Christian myself. So for those who don't know me, my name is Dennis James, as Howard mentioned. But before I talk about myself, I wanted to talk about the campus ministry in Montreal a little bit, just to let you know what's going on, give you some good news maybe, to give you faith and boost your faith. The campus right now in Montreal is about 15 disciples, which is not a very big number, but still, it's better than nothing. I love my brothers and sisters. I'm very proud to be able to serve them. I'm very proud of them. I think they're awesome disciples. And I think, without, you know, being too prideful about it, that some of these guys who are in the campus ministry, some of these girls are the future for the churches in Canada. I see great potential in them. I don't see why God would not use them. So a couple of good news, you know, from the campus ministry. Something really encouraging. One of the brothers who was baptized 2 years ago, his name is Vincent. He's a Quebecois brother. Actually baptized his mom last summer after persevering with her, praying with her, sharing the scriptures with her, and even sometimes rebuking her at home. Even though she was not a disciple, he baptized her into Christ in last November, if I'm not mistaken, or October. Another encouraging news: last semester, a very young brother in the faith, one of your brothers, his name is Nathanael. He came from Ivory Coast to study here in Montreal. Actually, last year, he was not even major. He was not even 18 years old. He was 17 years old and in the campus ministry. And he was very fired up about sharing his faith. He told me, Dennis, I want to challenge myself to share my faith for 5-6 hours per week this semester. I was like, you sure, bro? That seems like a lot. How are you going to manage this? And university, it's your first semester. And he told me, it's not going to be a hard semester. I can manage 5-6 hours. So I told him, hey, who am I to stop you? If your faith leads you to do that, then go for it. And it was really encouraging to see his faith. And he actually reached out to a guy named Alex on campus, who at first, you know, didn't seem like was very open. But when he started studying the Bible with him, a couple of weeks actually later, he got baptized into Christ last semester. So Alex is your brother in the campus ministry in Montreal. Another encouraging news is, some of you guys might know Laura. I think she interned here 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, if I'm not mistaken. If you guys remember, I reached out to a guy last year on campus at UCAM where I studied. And this guy got baptized 3 months later. And today, both of them are a dating couple. They actually started dating 2 weeks ago. So some encouraging news in the campus ministry, you know, not only baptisms, moms saved, but also people dating, which is always encouraging to hear in the church. Another encouraging news is we're studying the Bible with a guy right now who's also named Vincent, another Quebecois guy. A very brilliant guy. He's studying to become a math teacher in school. And a very, you know, very, very dedicated and passionate guy. And we've been studying the Bible for a couple of weeks now. And the question he asked me on Monday when I met with him was, when am I getting baptized? I'm like, bro, you gotta wait. Chill. There's some stuff you gotta know about Christianity. It's not like you grew up, you know, with a Christian background. You gotta know what you're getting into. And he was eager to get baptized. And he asked me the question that I'm sure a lot of you guys even ask is if I die before getting baptized, what happens? And I told him, hey, I think God is sovereign and, you know, he's not gonna let that happen. And if it does, then, well then, my bad. I'm joking. Not my bad. I think God is sovereign. I think he's gonna take care of him. I tried to scare him a little bit, you know, just to keep him there. You know, not depend too much on grace. You know, sometimes we can do that. So, yeah, just to keep the tension there, in his heart. Another good news. I actually celebrated myself, 5 years as a Christian, this past January. It's been 5 years that I was, baptized, and decided to follow Jesus. And, today it's a privilege for me to be here. I actually, came yesterday. We spent some time with some of the campus people and single people, from the church. It was good hanging, out with them. It was good to meet Emma, who was baptized recently, who's a young sister in the faith. And what was cool is to know that she's, related to Jamie Robbins, who some of you guys might know. And I'm a big fan of Jamie. I won't hide it. I love his preaching. I think he's a very cool brother. He's somebody that I try to imitate myself in my preaching and in my leadership. So, it was cool, you know, to know that, she's related to, one of the guys I look up to. So, I wanted this morning to, share as Howard mentioned, you know, a communion / message. So I'm going to start by sharing my story a little bit, how I was met, how I got baptized, and after that, share a little bit my life after I became a Christian, because it was not easy. I had some struggles, which I'm going to share about, and then, you know, finish off with a short practical lesson. So that's the plan for this morning. If you want a title for the lesson, it's called New Creation. That's the title of the lesson this morning and my sharing. So I was met, as I said, 5 years ago, on campus by Ghislain, actually, who leads the church in Montreal. And, you know, Ghislain casually invited me to a Bible discussion on campus. The subject of the discussion was on procrastination. I was a big procrastinator. So when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, I should maybe go there. Maybe this guy could teach me something. But jokes apart, what he shared with me in a brief moment, you know, I think he talked to me for 30 seconds. He said, hey, my name is Ghislain. I was an ex-lawyer. I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God, but God changed my life. And today I'm working as a full-time, minister of the gospel. So I was like, whoa, wait there. Like, how did this happen? Where I want to know more about your story. And, an interesting fact is actually that he shared his faith with me and my two friends. So, yeah, Ghislain was very courageous. He saw three guys and he shared his faith with the three of us. My two friends didn't go to the Bible talk, but I decided not to follow them. I decided to go because I was curious. I was actually a religious guy before Ghislain met me. I was part of, for 2 years, I was going to a charismatic Pentecostal church with my mom. My mom was in this church for a long, very long time. And I had a lot of questions, had a lot of, things I wanted to know. So I decided to join my mom's church. And the more I went, the more I realized that I had even more questions that popped up in my mind. Some questions to which, unfortunately, I didn't get an answer. But mostly, I was looking for some way to, you know, get rid of my sin because, you know, I read the Bible sometimes and I knew that there was sin in my life, but I didn't know how to overcome it. Nobody showed me how. Nobody was there to talk to me about it. So when Ghislain invited me, he asked me if I ever studied the Bible. I said no. And he invited me to study the Bible. And for 3 months, we studied the Bible together with him and other brothers, Actually, there was no campus at that time, just to let you know. Ghislain had just come back from Quebec City to start a campus ministry in Montreal. So the campus ministry in Montreal in 2010 was made up of single brothers and sisters. So it was actually the singles ministry in Montreal who helped me become a Christian with Ghislain. So yeah, I studied the Bible for 3 months, realized that I was in my sin, that I needed God's grace, but especially that I needed to change my life, turn it around. And I got baptized the 9th of January 2011 into Christ. And then the interesting part is after I became a Christian. 2 years after becoming a Christian, you guys might not know that. Maybe Howard might know that, but Ghislain had actually offered me to come and intern for the summer here, to do a summer internship in the church. And I remember, you know, going to eat with Ghislain, having a D time, and he proposed to me the idea of going and interning, and told me that I could serve the church here in Ottawa, that it would really encourage the church, but also help me a lot in my own faith. And he asked me to pray about it, and he asked me to think about it, meditate on it, read some scriptures, and get back to him with an answer. Unfortunately, and I'm ashamed to say that, but I didn't pray about it. I didn't think about it. Next time I met up with Ghislain, he asked me, "So what's your decision?" I said, "I don't think I want to go." And he asked me why, and I kind of tried to dodge the question. You know, I was like, "Oh, this, I have a class to take, but not really. My parents, they're gonna miss me. You know, stuff like that." It was so bad. I was just trying to find an excuse not to come here to Ottawa. And I was a very selfish guy. I still am a selfish guy by nature. I'm working a lot on my selfishness. To be honest, I didn't want to lose my comfort. I didn't want to serve Jesus in that manner. And to be honest, my faith also was very weak at that point. That summer didn't really go well for me. I almost left the church that summer in 2012. When I refused the internship, a couple of weeks later, I had interviewed for a job as an accountant in a cosmetic company. It was called Annabelle. Some of you girls might be using their products. So yeah, pretty big cosmetic company in Quebec. So I had a, you know, really, really nice job actually in accounting. And it was the first job, that I got in accounting, and it was the most money I ever made in my whole life. So, you can imagine, you know, how it was for me when that was, in 2012. So I was 21, I think, or 22. So, you know, for a 21, 22-year-old guy, you know, to get a job in accounting, it boosted up my ego. I started getting very comfortable in my life, starting to feel very, you know, prideful. It started to feel like I was all that, when in reality, you know, I was a very selfish guy. And another thing that, you know, happened during that summer is at that job, there was a girl who I liked, who, you know, in a very unwise way, I started building a friendship with, and little did I know, you know, weeks and a month later, after working at this job, I really started to like her a lot, and she liked me too. And I really struggled in my faith. I didn't want to talk to brothers about it. My quiet times were not present anymore. I prayed less and less as the summer advanced. I read the Bible less and less. And I was living, in fact, a double life. I had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And I didn't feel well about it. And that summer in particular, some of you guys remember, some of you guys even probably went there. In San Antonio, there was this big conference for the International Church of Christ, the ICOC Summit. In San Antonio, where I think 17 or 18,000 disciples were gathered. And I remember I had the money that summer to buy a plane ticket. And, you know, some of the guys from the campus went and they told me, "Hey, do you want to come? It will be fun." So, you know, I had no expectations really. I was like, I'm going to go there, but I don't think I'm going to learn a lot. I was very prideful, you know. I was like, what are these guys going to teach me that I don't already know? That was my mindset, to be honest. I went there with no expectations, just a casual, you know, casual trip to San Antonio. And I remember the first day I came there, I was blown away to see young people of my age who love Jesus, but I not only love Jesus, but were willing to sacrifice and do internships and go on missions and do one-year challenges. And when I talked to them, I was like, wow, what kind of Christianity they're living. I'm not living this kind of Christianity. And I remember the first lesson that was given by Sean Wooten, who leads the church in Kiev, Ukraine. His message really had a big impact on my life. If I remember correctly, the title lesson was God is Big. That was it. It was very simple and honest. And he shared how, you know, the church in Russia was planted a few decades ago. And how, you know, they went from a few disciples to 300 disciples and stuff like that. And I was blown away. But what he taught and what he preached really had a big impact on my life. And that day, during that lesson, I actually decided to repent. I said to myself, Dennis, you can't live this life anymore. His lesson was like a big slap on my face. It was a wake-up call. Literally, I was sitting there and I was holding back my tears because I felt like such a hypocrite in my heart, and I saw the other brothers and sisters, and it was hard just to be there and just sit there. I felt like I wanted to go in the bathroom and just, you know, let my tears go. So yeah, the trip in San Antonio, the conference really had a big impact on me. When I came back to Montreal, I confessed to Ghislain my sins. I talked to him about it. Ghislain obviously was very loving, but also showed me some scriptures and said, Dennis, if you don't take this seriously, something bad is going to happen with you. You know, you can't mess with sin for too long. You gotta fear the Lord. And I agreed with him, and I took some radical decisions, that summer in 2012. And that led to other, you know, decisions that were radical, some of which I'm not sure, you know, how I took them. I just went by faith, but you know, things happened, and God was very graceful towards me. God was very patient, and today I'm working as a full-time minister for the gospel. For me, it's beyond my understanding how you know God would want to use a guy like me. It's beyond my understanding what His grace is, and sometimes I'm blown away. You know, I'm like, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, God, really? Am I doing this? Is this a dream? Do you really call me to do that? And for me, it's a testimony of how God is big and how He can use anybody if that person is willing to let themselves be used by God. So this morning I want to share a scripture in 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I don't like to say that because it's as if, you know, I was choosing between one part of the Bible and neglecting it all, neglecting the rest, as if the other part was not the Word of God, which is not true. You know, every part of the Bible is the Word of God. But it's a chapter which I think, you know, really talks to me. And I love preaching on it and speaking about it. And particularly, I want to focus our attention this morning on verses 17 to 20 of chapter 5. So let's read together verses 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The version I'm reading for is the ESV, if you were wondering. I love using the ESV in English. And I love the wording of it, particularly verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so anyone who's a Christian, anybody who obeys the commandments of Jesus, anybody who gave his life to Jesus, anybody who's continuing to persevere in the path of Jesus, this person, Paul says, is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. I wish I had time this morning to talk about how God makes us a new creation. I think it's a very important study in the Bible, and I think it's a very it's a study which can help us a lot to grow in our Christian life. But unfortunately, this morning I don't have time to go there. As I was reminded by one of the brothers this morning, he told me, "You do know that there's a potluck after church." I was like, "Yeah, I know." Howard told me that. So I'm gonna try not to be too long and finish my lesson soon. But I wish I had time to talk about how God makes us a new creation. I think it's a very inspiring study. I was reading about that and I was blown away. But I'm gonna focus today in a very practical way on why God makes us a new creation. Why does God make us new again? Why do we need to be new again? Well, the answer is not hard to find. It's in the verse right after that. If you read verse 18, it says that all this is from God. What is from God? The new creation. He made us new. That was his plan, and that is his will. But why did he make us new? He says in verse 18, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and the important part is there at the end of the sentence, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is why we were made new, so that we may become ministers of reconciliation. As Jesus reconciled us and used other disciples, in my case, Ghislain and other guys, to reconcile me to God. In the same way, we have to let ourselves be used so that God can reconcile other people to him through you. And so that we may continue the work of Jesus. Jesus started his work with a few disciples whom he himself made new creations, whom himself, through his word, transformed. And then today this ministry is passed on to his disciples over the centuries to us here in Ottawa and in Canada, by the way, too. And he makes us ambassadors for him. That's what it says at the end of the chapter there. The responsibility we have, I don't know if you realize that, is great. It's a overwhelming responsibility sometimes, especially for me. Working as a full-time minister is not easy. I feel sometimes the burden of going and preaching the word. I'm not a very social guy by nature. For me, it's very hard to deny myself and go on campus every day and talk to people, study the Bible with people, share my life again and again. It's tiring. Sometimes I don't want to do it. But it's a responsibility that God gave us. And he made us new for that reason. And this is my belief. I believe that he continues to make us new, to help us to become better ministers of reconciliation. And I know it's easy not to feel like we are ambassadors of Christ. And we find it hard sometimes to reconcile others to Jesus. But this is where we got to remember, I think, that it's not us who created ourselves new creation. It's God who created us as new creations. He made us new. He called us. He wanted us to be ministers of reconciliation. We didn't choose that. He chose that for our lives. And of course, we have the choice to obey or not this calling. But I believe that when we were baptized, because of the Spirit we have in us, God has given us the ability to be ambassadors for him. We can't say we are not ambassadors because we don't have the ability. It's not true. God has given us the ability. We just got to use it. And we can be sure that God has not failed in his plan that when he baptized us, then when we were baptized, he really gave us the Spirit. It was not a joke. It's serious. God doesn't play with us. And if God can use a guy like me, God can use anybody. And I don't know where you guys are at this morning, in terms of the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know where the Ottawa Church is in doing and working for Jesus in terms of the ministry of reconciliation. But I can sure tell you that it's never too late. It's never too late with God to let the Scriptures touch our hearts and give us confidence that we can have an impact on other people's lives. So this morning, I appeal to you, to us, as a fellow Canadian worker for His kingdom. You guys may not know this, but I pray a lot for Canada. I pray a lot. When I go to the States, and I've done internships there, I've worked in the church there, I see what they have, and to be honest, sometimes I'm jealous. But I think if it leads me to want greater things in Canada, this is the good part I want to keep out of it. I want to keep the sin out, but I dream of big things for Canada. In Montreal, I'm working hard, and I'm sure you're working hard here. And I want to appeal to you to let yourselves be touched by the Word of God and work with me, with all the Canadian churches, with the Montreal Church, to bring the gospel to other Canadians and to let God use you as a minister of reconciliation. Thank you for listening to me. Have a good Sunday.